Now we come to very important research method, which is a pricing research. As it says, like, it helps you to develop an alternative pricing positions for your product in the competing market, or the changes that you require over a period of time to sustain your volume. So technique is the there are various techniques available to you. This is a technique that has been mentioned out here. Gebauer-Granner technique, there is a Van Westen drop technique, your brand price trade-off techniques, and conjoint analysis. We'll quickly study them one by one. This is a research technique named after a person who invented this. It's a very simple technique wherein consumers are fed with one price, and he has to answer whether at that price he will buy that product or not. So there will be a stage where, after prolonged refusal, at stage the consumer says, yes, I can consider buying this brand, so, or this product. So that's what gets plotted, and that will give you an idea about not only the price at which you are likely to sell more, as it is visual in the next graph. As you can see in this particular graph, price is plotted in the bottom and demand curve is given. So based on the demand curve, your revenue, so there is a point where you maximize your revenue. So that's the price that you should introduce your product with, so that your demand will result into optimal revenue for you. This is coming because people are asked at various price points whether they will buy the product or not. To simplify this, there are certain disadvantages of it. This model used to have, so therefore this is another method which came in, Van Westen drop technique. So here people may tend to overstate sometime. They may out of curiosity may even have told you high prices are the price point at which they will buy the product. That is not to avoid that. This is a different way of asking consumers as to what is the price that they feel about. So under this test, as you can say, the scale is given, where on that scale the consumer is asked to rate the product in terms of pricing. So rating is on what? So as we can see, they rate you either inexpensive, they rate you either as expensive, too cheap. So at a various price points, this feedback is taken from the consumers, and when this is plotted, you will come to know there will be one phase where most of the lines kind of meet. So you can decide your price point somewhere from that phase. So now that's where your then market understanding, that's where your tactics, etc. can play a role. Whether you want to be between expensive and too expensive, whether you want to be between, towards too expensive side, etc. So that's a different points, because it gives you an idea as to what level the preference is growing, or like what level you are trying to get the maximum traction for your product. Based on the conjoint analysis, here the consumers trade-offs are taken for a particular price features. So what happens, like, price is a derivative of various features that you offer. Consumers are offered a what if kind of a situation where certain trade-offs is been asked to take into account. So at what price, what he is willing to consider. That will create a kind of almost a product for you, where you will come to know as to which particular price level consumers are opting for most of the features that you are offering to the consumers, or your product concept is going to offer it to the consumer. So that's another technique which helps marketers a lot. Decisions, there are factors which affect the pricing. Not that I really need to explain you one by one. The market demand, the mix that you go to market with, your current market share within the market, competitive market, cost estimates that you have, your policy, whether you are scheme pricing or whatever. So that's what, governmental policies, etc. So like GST, as the car people today are shouting, has hampered the cost of the product. And as a result, they say that the demand is low, etc. What is your pricing strategy that you want to, whether you want to go for a scheming, you want to go penetrative marketing, etc. So all those aspects are the factors which affect the pricing decision. So we have studied a very important aspect, a very important method on pricing with different modules within. So now we go to the advertising research, as they say. Again, a very important research methods available to you. However, when you say advertising research, there are various aspects that one need to know. So advertisement has a communication, advertisement has an appeal, advertisement has a call for action, etc. So now which part of that are you trying to understand? So as it says, like, you know, you will be able to know that through different kinds of research. You probably can study every aspect. You probably want to just study one particular aspect, etc. Advertising research again involves more of a qualitative research. However, today with science advancements, etc., even those qualitative aspects can be quantified using various digital tools, etc. So that's the advantage available to the marketing researcher or the marketeers, that even advertising research, which is considered once upon a time more psychological and therefore a domain of few, and despite that, the qualitative, this thing used to be a threatening part. Now even that qualitative aspects are converted into a numerical, that is possible, and that gives a more confidence to the researcher people. Yeah. So advertising is a special format, and as you said, there is a customized research and there is a syndicated research. Now we need to come out from that. You have certain advertisement research related need. Yeah. One need to determine whether this is a, there is a need for customization. So yes, there are research. Yeah. You have developed a new copy or you have developed a new advertisements. You have to do a customized research, but there will be a time when you are doing this marketing spend, you are doing this advertising spend over and over a period of year, 3 year, 5 years, etc. You are trying to see that, you know, what is it led to, what does it led to you in relation to your product and its sale vis-a-vis the competition product and its sales. At the same time, competition is doing things. So you will come to know the sensitivity of that. For which, in such case, there are syndicated research available, result of which can be purchased by any individuals. And when they study that, you know, you will come to know your product position vis-a-vis your own initiative, your product position vis-a-vis competition, competitive product vis-a-vis their own product at that particular point of time, what was the initiative that they took, etc. So you can study and then you can determine as to what is working for you, what is not working for you, what needs to be corrected, etc. So there are popularly two methods, pre-test and the post-test method of advertising research. Pre-testing is nothing but before actually the advertisements go live, you try to test. Now, what do you try to test? As I told you even earlier, the copy, the call for action, the appeal, etc. So what is working, what is not working, etc. will come out of you are doing this. So as I said, the brand awareness, attention, recognition, etc., whether those aspects are coming out or not, and whether it is inducing, whether it is exciting and consumers to take that next step. It could be giving you a missed call, it could be visiting your showroom, it could be call for test ride. And all, most auto companies you will see it today encourages call for test ride. That gives them the idea whether their ad is working, not working, and more, and as such. So what are the ways that the pre-testing can take place? So what one need to really understand is that there are four methods. What I would like to do is, like, under the consumer pre-testing techniques, there is a consumer jury survey. This method essentially involves the exposure of advertisement to a sample or jury, or that individuals who are from the field, not from the field, or a mix of it, etc. You will take this and you will show them this particular aspects, and then their feedback is taken on the advertisements. Their feedback can be taken on a common parameter, specific parameters, mix of vote, call for action related feedback, etc. are being taken. Now this particular method has three aspects to it. So how do you do the consumer jury survey? Word test, gift test, and projective techniques. So word test is like specific words are being put to jury, and you know that words they are supposed to evaluate. So they go with that word in mind, and then they have to ensure that whether the advertising appeal, copy, etc. are related to that, whether it is coming out. Gift test, etc. So here you know, you try to gift something. So there is a gift as a connotation which is there in your advertisement. So they try to figure out whether that is working or not. Projective techniques are, as we have earlier also studied, where psychological aspects are understood by making customer feel, the respondent feel, that what has been discussed is not about him but about the common people, wherein he has been given statements or, you know, story, and then he is supposed to complete that. So that's what the projective technique is all about. Say that will reveal about your advertisements. And so this is a pre-testing stage, you can do all these things. And then there is a coupon return analysis. And so in the pre-testing stage, again, you release your communication in the market or in the test market, which has an element of a coupon in that system. Today, instead of coupon, you can say missed call. You can say that call to action kind of thing, which is like test ride. How many test rides did I get? Or how many warranty extension did I get? Or if it's for the download, you know, app download, which most of the digital platforms today talk about. So whether that is going to happen or not. So you do this in the test market and try to figure that out. So coupon return can be replaced by call for action kind of this thing analysis, is more in a digital stage. Can be an open offer, can be a hidden offer, can be a split run technique. You do it for some time, you do something else, you again do it for some time, same things, and you try to do this over a period to determine whether that is working or not. Yeah, or it was one of the time when you did that first time it worked, but time 2 and 3 it is not, say, working. So that kind of aspects will come out of this. Local area test. Here, one isolated local geographical area is chosen, and in the most natural environment, you will trigger as if you are actually marketing. Your actual selling and marketing will happen. Now, using that same particular advertisement that you think are going to be released on a all India level, etc. Based on that, entire actions are monitored. So if that advertisement was supposed to get you more downloads, then that will be monitored. If it's supposed to get you test ride call, that will be monitored. Or you expect them to call your call center or visit websites, whatever. That all will be studied, and then accordingly the effectiveness will be arrived at. Controlled experiment, I think we have studied a lot about it, so I will not kind of get into what is controlled experiment. But here, certain aspects are monitored, manipulated at a point of sale to see that how effective that is working or not or not. So same is the case with advertisements. So you will use one format of advertisement and few point of sales. You will use another format of advertisement at few point of sales, or a copy change or an offer change, etc. And then you will try to see what is working where. So including point of sales displays and various things, and branding and all. And then you will try to figure out what is working for you. So that's the controlled experiment. It may use signboards, and so this is what it covers. Like when it comes to advertising, it's a larger area. So advertising communication, the ambience, the branding, etc. All that matters when you do this. And sell product door to door, showing different advertisements. So even that is one approach. And you can control experiment. You take the product door to door and show them the advertisement and try and see that whether it appeals to them or not. Handbills and all can be distributed in the local areas or in experimental areas, and then you try and get the feedback of consumers onto that. Post-testing, very important, and why consumer companies do that. You have already invested money in, and now you want to know whether that is working or not working for you. So that's the post-testing objective of any advertisement research. Post-test advertisements can happen at a particular point of time or can happen over a period of time. So we will study that. What is that? So continuous tracking and longitudinal tracking. Continuous tracking is changes in advertisement spendings are correlated with the changes in the brand awareness. So here, whatever that spend behavior that you have adopted, high spend, so whether it has led to high brand awareness and high inquiry level at the dealership or not, etc., or you have reduced your spend, whether that has led to anything. So you spend less on advertisement but high on promotion. So even that kind of aspects can be studied. Longitudinal is same respondents are tracked over a period of time. Helps you to isolate the impact of stray behaviors. So, or competitive stray incidences, etc. So continuous tracking is like it is done at a particular point of time. Longitudinal is over a period of time where the respondents remain same. Inquiry and coupon response method, so that's one of the method, same as like as we have seen in the pre-test also. This method is used to study the effect of advertisement on the dealership and the consumers. So what is finally happening, footfall, you know, status. So that's what is a post testing inquiry. Now today they product people or the marketers are encouraged to have something in it which is engaging. And that engagement, if it is a digital, the level of engagement people have taken about the brand, about what they speak about, or action at the dealership, so whatever. So test market or say test ride is a action at the dealership. So when the advertisement is released across North India, you may find ke bhai, most places there is a good response except say Rajasthan. Now therefore, then when you study that, you may find that you have ignored the core or the very key language newspaper in the Rajasthan. So then you can probably improvise your you know, the next advertisement release plan, etc. So various aspects can come out like that when you do a post advertising research. Readership survey test and recognition test. So your readers are met, and where the attempt is to meet your target consumers, and this target consumers are told to, you know, help you with the advertisement, their understanding, whether they found it appealing, what they did, what they did not do, etc., why they did not do things, etc. So that kind of feedback will be very useful to you. Recognition test. It's again a psychographic or psychological test where respondent doesn't know for which you have or for which brand or the which advertisements you are there. But you are presented in a smart manner, various aspects, and then your feedback is taken, and how you narrate things, how you recall things, etc., all that matters. Yeah. So they obviously, they many times start with brand in a particular category they recall most. So that in fact reflects on the advertisements. So whether in the unaided recall, whether your brand featured or not, has a lot to speak about your effectiveness of the advertisements, etc. So that's a recognition test. So various things are been visually shown to the consumers, and their feedback is taken on that. But at that point of time, consumer is not aware for which particular brand or for which particular product or which particular advertisement that you are trying to evaluate. It does it in a way that your natural this thing towards a particular product and the advertisement comes out. You are not able to manipulate. That's the advantage of recognition test. Recall testing method. Recall tests are applied to measure the effectiveness of an ad in terms of its recall, whether your whether consumers were able to recall when they were asked about the category ad they have seen, or the product ad they have seen, or the company ad that they have seen recalled in the recent past, etc. So it has its own meaning. So it depends on marketeers and the research agency to decide whether the recall test is better or whether recognition test is better. So that's the aspect that need to be really worked out between the agency and the marketeer. Sales test method, again, it's a very natural and very powerful this thing, whether your advertisement campaign has led to the sale or not. So that's the critical aspects that comes out of the sales test method. It will tell you a lot about offer effectiveness, the brand effectiveness, recall, the positioning correctness, etc. Competitive pressure, whether competition is gaining out of your current promotion, etc. So whatever. So that's the advantage of sales test method. Next is the marketing effectiveness. So if it is the equality, and so of how marketeers go to market with the goal of optimizing their spending to achieve. So that's the ultimate objective, return on investment. So marketing effectiveness, four dimensions: corporate, competitive, customer, and extraneous factors, factors which are outside your control. Corporates are very well controllable, competitives are managed and manipulated, customers are and the consumers are very much within you, and extraneous factors is not even within you and even in competition. So what will be the announcement that a finance ministry is going to make tomorrow about your GST categorization is not known to you. While competitive is like, okay, you have studied that they have recently reduced the price, something that you can still monitor and manipulate whether to your advantage, or you can also do corrective steps. So that's how you overall see the return on investment or return on marketing investment, as they say. So that's the power of advertising research, because ultimately it has to aid the marketing objective. So advertising research is really critical. Most companies do it also. Previous few studies that we have spoken about, companies may or may not do it. Then comes the copy testing. As the name suggests, it has to do everything with the copy matter, what is written in the advertisement. Is it arousing the required interest? It starts with headlines, the body, the feature presentation, the pictorial stimuli. How is, like, overall your copy of your advertisement is leading to engage better with the consumers? That's the ultimate objective of copy testing. It helps you to develop a theme, achieve specific objective of the doing this advertisement, or define the need of a nature of advertisements, whether it is generate interest or call for action, what is required, or promote the offer, or what is it, so what should be the right message. It will help you, like, if you are able to do the above, you will come to know what should be the right message. So right messages are the same thing, but how rightly you represent, that is what is going to appeal to the consumers. So that's what is all about. Then ability to recall, how simple or how logically copy is aligned that the consumers are able to recall whenever they are faced with this dilemma, or whenever they want to recall your purpose of your product or a feature of your product, etc. So that's the copy testing and the issues that it can help you with. Copy testing combines psychological and sociological and various other parameters that they try to evaluate upon. There are certain words have a negative connotation, certain kind of appeal will have a negative aspects in mind. So how do you convert this into a positive? So it's many times writing the negative in a positive manner. It checks the effectiveness of the ads, and it will reflect. If you do this, it will reflect on your ad effectiveness. Pre-test is the stage where generally copy testing is done. Therefore, copy testing ads requires multiple options to be developed, and that multiple options are measured. And there is a quantification of this is possible. Therefore, this test is therefore popular. It will give you an idea as to what is working actually in your favor. It answers you the following questions. And what is it are you communicating? And is it a right message? Is it leading to the desired change in the imagery about your product, about your company, brand image, or a need assessment about consumers, whether it is triggering it right, consumer has taken that rightly, and whether it is creating that appeal which is close to his motive, and is he taking the right step? So that kind of a thing can be ensured by appropriate copy developments. So these are the things that a copy testing can bring you out when you do that. Features of a good copy testing is listed for you, and in the positive of time, probably I will want to really go fast. But okay, human response needs to be really taken into account, relevant to objective, and you should be relevant to the objective of your why doing these advertisements, etc. Biases are removed, and a negative affinity or negative connection should be removed, and should be close to reality, and not many adjectives and high jargons are used which will put off the consumers. Let's understand this method called readership survey. As the name suggests, readership can be replaced by words like viewership, listeners, etc. So it just tries to understand how much have you covered. So that's the essence of this particular research. Here essentially the last point that needs to be really accounted for any single media, it may not be possible to conduct this research on its own. Therefore, research agency or the bodies have developed the mechanism by which what they do is a collective research. There are organizations who do this as a collective level. This entire research has been done and the report is marketed. So report is available to the media. So they often look for this readership survey report to come out, and then you will notice that all of them come out with what is different about their newspaper, or where have they gained, etc. So that's that readership survey. TRPs and all also are some offshoot of it, and for television that is what has been considered. Here, in India, the most popular is National Readership Survey. It provides the idea about the media ownership, readership, circulation, etc. So, circulation is like the number, but the readership is in every family. When a newspaper reaches, more than one person reads it. So, that's the readership. So, it comes into that, which kind of family subscribe to business newspaper, who subscribes to business, entertainment part, or, what kind of magazines are being used in the households, etc. So, those aspects are generally coming out, extent of TV reader viewership or a radio listenerships, etc. Primary readership or a secondary readership. So, it's like, essentially what for it is in, say, what are the other aspects. So, primarily Economic Times say like I read it, but for my, say, daughter, it may be just a secondary read. She doesn't mind even if she misses for a day or two. So, that's what who is the owner, what is his demographics, his likes, habits, dislikes, his other ownership. So, they try to link it like our newspaper is the most preferred in high-end durable consumer goods category. So, then those product category people will be excited to come to you. So, that's the advantage of a readership survey. Television rating points are the TRPs, another aspects under this. As per the current module that has been popular, it covers 9 key metros. Individuals above 8 years are covered. There are technicalities that is involved. So, you get onto the panel and you have been given certain nature of tools to use, etc. So, your jump from one channel to the other channel, the duration, etc., is really tapped, that is matched with the nature of program that was being relayed, and accordingly the readerships or TRP television rating points are declared. So saans bhi kabhi bahuti in our time used to have the highest TRP. So you get more advertisements and more marketeers are wanting to come into your show and advertise the products, etc. So that's the advantage of a TRP or another nature of readership survey. Now, what we come to is a ad tracking survey. Now, ad tracking survey, as the name suggests, is a post-testing effectiveness of the advertisements are being tested. It monitors the performance of the brand. It monitors the performance in terms of its awareness, in terms of trials, in terms of acceptance, in terms of attitudinal behavioral changes that it has created in the minds of your prospects, etc. Competitive perspectives are also handled. You can do this either continuously or at a given particular set point of time. So, you decide that after my ads are released, within 1 month or 3 months, I will do this, etc. So, that's kind of a thing. And you can do it continuously, like as a FMCG is an intensely competitive market, have a regular advertisements plan. So, what they can do is that regularly they can do this ad tracking. So, it will help them to determine what is working for them, which kind of ads are not working for them, etc. Result is matched to decided effectiveness. So, there are parameters that has been pre-decided. If that doesn't lead to that level, then the ad is not effective, etc. So, that's the advantage of, we have earlier covered return on investment, or it is like, parameter-driven effectiveness. It helps into that area. The purpose is to provide the measure of the combined effects of media spent. So, level, high spent, moderate spent, low spent, etc. Effectiveness of that media, whatever that media that has been used, and the quality of the ad. So, against the kind of ad, the copy of it, etc., the appeal within, the offer within, etc. So, that comes under that C. Advertisers gets to know the return on investments. They can therefore take into a refinement is possible if it is so. Many use with expected scope, extend the scope can be expanded to include the probably pre-campaign, during and after the campaign. So, ad tracking can even happen on a three-phased manner, just before the campaign, during and then after the campaign, to see that what is happening at different stages. using two different approaches, a full exposure, partial exposure, branded, unbranded. So there are various tweaks possible. So you get into fully exposing the ads, you give a partial exposure and then make consumer recall your entire advertisements. You create an unaided awareness, aided awareness, branded awareness, unbranded awareness, on which you try to get the consumer's desired input. Yani that will determine the effectiveness and recallability, the impact it created on your product sale. Many consumer good companies do this. However, it is covered as a brand awareness, and one of the indices related to this is the correlation after the campaign that you see it on the volume that you get. Yani. You can also do the longitudinal design here. We have studied that longitudinal design is over a period of time done with the same individual. Longitudinal ad tracking when adopted, you will come to know the behavioral change in the same people, same category of people over a different period of time after certain time interval, etc. These changes will help you to get idea about certain exposed, unexposed, aware, unaware, aspects of your communication, and then it will help you to improvise. We come to my viral marketing, another form of marketing. Viral marketing related research is also being practiced by marketers. Viral marketing means is a strategy that tricks the individual to promote the message about the product. It like captures the ROI of marketing spent on social media. So it's viral is more to do with the social. It brings out the effectiveness of your communication and the offer. It brings out the virality of your communication. So whether it was strongly viral, moderately viral, etc., or it was purposefully viral, where it was pushed as a viral, whatever. So all those aspects will come out. Or it was a self-driven viral, where each one feels like, I must also communicate this, etc. This is not necessarily limited to the digital and online. This kind of this thing was done even during internet and web days, which came into India, videos and televisions, etc. also, which has prompted FM radio, etc. Exponential growth feasibility about using the marketing communication core message, the offer or core of your product and services at any given point of time. If that is spreaded, rest you know that we will be taken care of. I am at a very important subject of marketing research, which is customer satisfaction. It has taken high attention among various corporates, and they all strive to get the better and better their customer expectations and meeting the customer expectations. Satisfaction measures involve three psychological elements, and a cognitive, which is thinking part of it, evaluation part of your product, your brand, your company, etc. Affective part, which is emotional, and it has to do with likes and dislikes, etc. The behavioral aspects are like what is current and what I want them to do it in future, etc. Today, omni-channel or say like virtual channel and all are being talked about. Yani. So it's like to understand yani, okay, what do customers do in such kind of thing, whether you have been able to pull them from a very physical stores to the omni-channel apps and tools that you provided, etc., and whether that is working to their satisfaction. So that's the beauty of this customer satisfaction research, and it brings out what they feel about your services mostly, and product, etc., and certain other aspects of being a longer relationship building parameters. Following questions can be answered, and it helps you to get understanding about how satisfied the consumers are. Will they recommend? Are they in a referral phase of a satisfaction curve, or will they repurchase themselves, etc.? So longevity of your relationship, etc., can come out of it. Yeah. Inherent focus of doing customer satisfaction survey is a perceived quality. Yeah. Perceived quality is often measured through overall quality, perceived reliability, and the extent to which product or the services meet the customer expectations. Yeah. You have set in various things, but is it meeting the perceived notion of the consumer? He has certain perceived thing in his mind, whether you are behaving, attending, servicing him from that perspective or not. Yeah. Loyalty is another aspect that could be studied well. It reflects the likelihood of repurchase recommendations, etc. Repurchase means the lifetime association with the brand and the company continues with the same customers. That's a good marketing parameter that every company wants to strive with its customers. So that's the area that you will be able to throw much light on. Types of customer satisfaction that influence the satisfaction. Yeah. Customer satisfaction of explicit expectations. I am getting a car. To deliver my car, I have certain obvious explicit expectations. Yeah. They must garland, they must offer me with proper care, they must explain me all the product nitty-gritty, warranty, service. So whether that is meeting or not, implicit expectations. Yeah. So it's like implicit is like certain thing which is obvious. Why should I say every time? It is like de facto you should. Yeah. So when I come to see your vehicle, few things has to happen. Yeah. So that's kind of aspect. Static performance expectations, like they are ambience, they are infrastructures, and you know, those kind of areas where consumers may not look at it that critically, but when questioned about, they do comment about. Yeah, types. Static performance expectations, like minimum or expected expectations from your product or the services that consumer is looking at, and whether you are meeting or falling short. Yeah, dynamic performance expectations are they are constantly changing avenues or constantly changing parameters in today's life. Even after the product is purchased, how am I engaged with the brand and the company and the dealership, etc., that determines my dynamic performance. Yeah, so that has to do with your service after sales, etc. Technological performance expectations, like, so consumers are offered so many digital touch points, so many technical innovations are there. Today car is more electrical and electronic than the mechanical, as they say. So all these things leads to certain satisfaction related outcome coming out. Yeah. Interpersonal expectations, whether the your brand or the product is itself linked well with the individual's his needs, his desires, his motive, his expectations are from you, from your product, from your company, etc., whether it is falling short or meeting or exceeding the expectation. That's what the interpersonal expectation is, they say. Moving on, satisfaction measurements can help on these areas, like approval levels. Yeah, so you, there are minimal levels, and whether are you meeting that? Yeah, it helps you to measure the retention level, interest in the products and the company, the offerings, etc., and areas of improvements can come out. Yeah, where you think you are falling short, or you are short, or you are barely acceptable vis-a-vis competition, etc. So those are the areas of improvement that you can take. How does it help? Yeah, it can help you to find the user's friendliness, affinity or affection towards your company, the product and the brand. Yeah, core issues affecting the satisfaction can be understood, and if monitored well, it can enhance your satisfaction. Efficient indicators, there are indicators within your customer satisfaction parameter assessment that will allow you, and there is a lead lag model, as they say, something is a result of something derived out of it. Yeah, so your effective call response is a result of proper call center, trained manpower at the call centers or not, etc. So you are able to then go back and assess where do you need to improve, etc. Choosing the most appropriate scale for research, prioritize your targets, identify and fix the end use problems, etc. These are some of the other areas where post important aspects being studied, these are some of the things that you can look at also. Do I need to look at my target differently? Do I need to understand my target better, etc.? So then you are able to put certain additional marketing research perspective or actions in it, and then you will be able to understand your consumer better. We come to another method. So we have completed a very important method called customer satisfaction. We come to conjoint analysis. Again, a very important derivative or the method within the marketing research. Very popular when it comes to selecting features and various things to include or exclude, etc. It helps the marketers to determine which features within a new product should be there, may not be there, etc. preference are dependent variable and the product attributes are independent variable. So preference, consumers are given a preference to certain attributes. So for securing your vehicle or for securing your house, what are the variables? So video locks or intercoms, etc. So your doorbell should have voice recognition or video feature capturing or what, etc. So that is how it gets into conjointing the various aspects. So there are dependent variable and then there are product attributes that if chosen can satisfy your dependent variable. That's the basis of a conjoint analysis. Objective is to analyze in a way that limited number of attributes emerge as a link to the main factor or main area, and that will give you an idea as to for making my product more secure or more offering more convenience, these are the things that I need to do additionally. So it's a control set. It's like the consumers are given a lot of parameters in front of them. A lot of aspects or features are presented to them. Consumer chooses one of them. So it's like you present them the set of combinations of various features, etc. And then from there, the consumer chooses the one which he thinks is going to meet his desired expectations. And so that's the way the conjoint analysis generally gets done. Use for measuring quality of the retail services or product features incorporation, product features deletion, etc. Estimating the demand based on certain features and certain combination of features. Therefore, you see in a car, there are levels, the minimal level, moderate level, and car with the high number of features, etc. So that's a derivative of, despite knowing that customers need so many features, there's always a sensitivity to the price, etc., and the demand thereof. So companies have got into understanding things and then trying to do things in such a way that conjoint analysis gives them the better idea. I am on a slide which is another technique called mystery shopping. Mystery shopping, as the name suggests, shopping is done without the shopper, without the shopkeeper knowing it as to who has visited his shop, done what kind of thing. It has a power that the original equipment manufacturers or the goods producer or the supplier has in his hand, and it can utilize and do this thing and utilize it to his advantage. And quality of the retail services, the ambience, the support that they provide to the customers, etc. A decoy customer is set there. The general norm is a decoy customer is set as a normal customer. He is briefed totally about what he should expect there, and then his actual experience is translated as an outcome, and that outcome is studied to know whether your retailer, your shopkeepers are treating customer as expected, what are the areas of gaps, etc. More the number you cover, more level of cities that you cover, etc., your mystery shopping report becomes more and more relevant, and you can see the gaps where it is that you need to really improve upon. Mystery shopping can be done at not only your shop, it can be done at a competitor shop also. You deploy a decoy customer there to know the promotion effects, the promotional schemes, this thing, the manipulations and thereof, etc. So it has various connotations and can be used by marketeers to their advantage in many ways. There are mystery shopping specialist agencies in market. Again, this is not necessarily a ambit of normal marketing research agencies. These mystery shopping agencies have a depth in terms of market. They can identify the nature of customers that you want in whichever market that you want, or deploy somebody from city X to city Y and be this thing and handle the other related part. Because the moment you go there and you come out, and later you start getting call from the call center, the salesman will call you. So now how long does this guy has to continue to answer? So many times it is done over a period of time, to know that post inquiry also how's the behavior. Company expects, they want to know whether you got the product input, whether you got a thank you email, whether you got regular follow-up calls or not, etc. So then in that case, it will stretch more as such. Yeah. So what we have now studied is the entire marketing mix related research methods. There are various standard methodologies available to conduct specific type of research, conjoint or price sensitivity, etc. And that is the base of this chapter that we have completed. Thank you.